Good morning.
Good morning.
Our opening hymn this morning will be hymn number one. Number one. We'll sing the first and last verse of this hymn. Number one. And let us sing.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done, the mighty, the world that he gave us in his Son, who yielded his life at the atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when a Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
For our opening prayer this morning, we'll turn to hymn number 560. 560. We'll sing the first and last verse of this hymn. 560.
It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him and his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the saints of God. Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus, precious Jesus.
Let's bow in prayer. Father, we humbly approach your throne, thanking you for the nice, beautiful, wonderful day we were able to wake up to today, knowing that we can come to you and worship you and sing songs of praise to you and be your servants. Father, we thank you for the blessings of life you have given to us. We thank you that we're here as a family, worshiping you now. And as we worship you, Father, we ask that you clear our minds of all the worldly thoughts that are there, and we focus upon your word. We ask that as we hear Skippy speak this morning, that we focus in on what his message is, that we may study it, and that we may apply it to our hearts, that we may go out to this world and teach your word. For we know that you would have none to be lost. But we know, Father, that they are in need of your word. They need to hear it. And we are your messengers. Let us indeed be the lights in your community, that lamp on a hill. Father, as we are here this morning, we know that there are many in this congregation that are in need of prayer due to sickness and health and other factors that may have kept them away from the worship services this morning. If it be your will, Father, we ask that you bring them to health if possible. But if that is not your will, Father, we ask that you comfort them, you guide them, and that you may give them the comfort that they indeed so desperately need. Watch over us in the deeds that we do, that we may be the example for those that are around us. Let them see Christ in us. Watch over the elders of this congregation. Give them the wisdom that they need to shepherd us. Watch over the deacon of this congregation as he works under the guidance of the elders, and give him the wisdom that he needs to be able to do the work that is necessary, and that we may follow the directions as need be. All these things, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bear our minds for taking the Lord's Supper this morning with the wood leaves in your hymn book, hymn number 330. Then we'll sing the first and last verse of this hymn, 330.
Why did my Savior come to the world and to the Thank you.
In John chapter 15, verses 13, the Bible reads that greater love has no one than this, and the one who lay down his life for his friends. This greater love that the Bible speaks of was the sacrificial death of Christ Jesus upon the cross of Calvary. Before us, we have two emblems commemorating his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We have the bread that represents his body that was crucified on the cross of Calvary, and the cup that represents his shed blood that was shed for many for the remission of sin. At this time, we have the privilege and the honor to serve and partake of the Lord's Supper. Let us bow and give thanks for the bread. We're grateful and so thankful, Father, that you left for us a way to remember Christ Jesus, to unite on the first day of the week, to remember him, and to remember what he did for us. We thank you for this bread that represents his body. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's give thanks for the cup. Father, we thank you for your son's blood, which was shed on our behalf that we might be able to have eternal life. Father, we thank you that you gave so great a sacrifice as to give your only begotten son. We thank you that he saw fit to love us so much that he went under the cruel cross on our behalf for sins that we were not worthy of. Yet he bared the whole weight of sin that day for us. We thank you for that blood. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Fourth place, mark the hymn book in hymn number 125, 125, will be the song of invitation this morning. 125. And after marking that hymn, if you would please, turn your hymn book to hymn number 703, 703. Once again, we will sing the first and last verse of this hymn, 703. Let us see. Trouble sometimes I hear, feeling his heart with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake. Oh, humble your heart to God, safe from the chains they rot. Sit the way pilgrims trot, a Christian's away. And Jesus is come, bring soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet at you, trumpets will sound. And all of the dead shall rise, righteous meeting the sky. Going where no one died, heaven were bound. Troubles will soon be your happy forevermore. When we meet on that shore, free from all care, rising up in the sky, telling this world the good high. Homeward we then live for life, glory to share. And Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. And all of the dead shall rise, righteous meeting the sky. Going where no one died, heavenward bound.
and all of the dead shall rise. Righteous seed is the sky, going where no one dies, heavenward bound.
The scripture reading for this morning's lesson will be taken from this morning's lesson titled Being Loyal to God. Will be taken from Mark chapter 12, 29 through 33. Once again, that's Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 33. And it reads, "And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And now for our brother Skippy.
Say good morning. Truly God has blessed us to be able to see another day, to be able to come to worship him in spirit and in truth. Thank God for those who have taken part in our service thus far. And I just want to thank God for the talent that we have here in this congregation. Just want to thank Brother Hank on last week for filling in. You've done a great job. I did listen to the message, and we just want to thank you for that, and just thank the congregation just for your love and just for your prayers and for your understanding. God gave us traveling grace to make it back here safely. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. A wise eternal Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day and, Lord, for your blessings, this opportunity you've once again given us to assemble ourselves together this morning. Now, Heavenly Father, as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word and what it has to say to us in our situation. And, Lord, there are the things that we have fallen short of. We just pray that you give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Guide me in your word, the things that I say, Lord. You get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, we just want to welcome the visitors. If you're visiting with us, you are an honored guest. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service this morning. I want to talk about this morning being loyal to God. You think about loyalty. Loyalty has become an old-fashioned word. It's hard to be loyal to anything anymore because of so many choices that we have in this day and time. It's easy to be faithful when the situation is good. It's easy to be loyal when you get all the benefits and all the favors. But what will you do when things are not going well in your life? When you're dealing with health issues, what will we do when the going gets tough? What will we do when everything else fails? when everyone walks out. And so for us to really shine out in this dark generation, we need to be like Jesus, who chose to stay loyal, who chose to stay faithful to his Father. Loyalty is a virtue. Loyalty is to be faithful, to stick to a commitment. Loyalty is to stay faithful to a person or a cause. This means our whole being is thoroughly committed to someone. In Joshua 24 and verse 15, Joshua made the statement, "If it seem evil unto you, choose you this day whom you will serve." But notice the commitment he made. He said, "For me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So such loyalty is expressed to us in both the divine and human realms, as it is given in the first two commandments in this text, in verse 29 through verse 33. When you look at verse 30 and 31, he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." Understand, there is nothing more important in the church and in our lives than getting better at loving God, loving our neighbor, and loving ourselves. And we should never stop pursuing getting better at what Jesus says matters the most. Because the truth is, there is no other commandment greater than these. And because getting better at them is the doorway to living the life God always intended for you to live. See, it's a life of freedom, a life of joy, contentment, purpose, satisfaction, meaning, and fulfillment. But tragically, it is a life that far too many people who claim Jesus and walk through the doors of the church leave this earth without ever experiencing in all its fullness. And so the reason why is because between you and that life is a door, a closed door, that is a barrier that is separating you from life. But yet it's always just beyond the door. Now the good news is that this door has three hinges on it that will always allow it to swing open freely. Loving God is the top hinge. Loving yourself is the middle hinge. And loving your neighbor is the bottom hinge. But here's the deal. Getting better at loving God, as you should, loving your neighbor as he intended, and loving yourself as he commands, is the doorway to the life you always wanted to live. You should love him with every thought that you think. Live every hour of every day for him. Be willing to sacrifice your life for him. Love him with every penny in your wallet and everything you got. Why? Because it's the right thing, it's a good thing, and it's the godly thing to do. So the question comes this morning, number one, why should we be loyal? Why should we be loyal? Why should we be loyal to God? Why should we be loyal to Christ? Well, because they were loyal to us. You remember God gave his son in John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus bore your sins and my sins upon Calvary. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, he says, for he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so we have to understand this morning that loyalty has two major characteristic traits. The first one is knowledge of what's right. Knowledge of what's right. We have to have it because righteousness requires a process of growth that begins when God calls us, and thus beginning to reveal the mystery of God. In Psalms 119 in verse 172, he says, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. So righteousness is doing right. Righteousness is what we are to be loyal to. And then the second of these two loyalty characteristic traits is devotion. Devotion, knowledge of what's right, but then there's devotion. Not only to God, but express your devotion to your duties. In John 14 and verse 15, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. This couldn't be any clearer. So what Paul does, he used those two principles when he wrote to the Roman congregation to encourage their righteous thinking. Why? Because they thought they were right, but they were puffed up about their own self-righteousness. And so if they had been righteous, then Paul would never have had to clarify the misunderstanding about God's plan and God's purposes. And so Paul, he did this in Romans. He wrote in three chapters. He wrote it in Romans chapter 9. He wrote it in Romans chapter 10. And he wrote it in Romans chapter 11. And then when you look at Romans 11 and verse number 25, notice what he says. He said, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit. And so when he leaves there, he starts talking about other subjects. And so we have to understand why we need to be loyal, because God and Christ was loyal to us. But then we need to understand that loyalty to God and to Christ requires obedience to him, not just on Sunday, but all of the time. We need to be obedient to God at all times. His commission, why? His commission to make disciples of all men has not changed. Matthew 28 and verse 20, his comforting promise that he will be with us always has not changed. Matthew 28 and verse 20, his command to love him with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength has not changed. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, his challenge to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and into the end of the earth has not changed. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. And so we must be about the task of being the church that God has called us to be in the community where he has placed you and I. And we must make sure that our loyalty to him is steadfast and is sure. And so here's the question. Here's the question that I want you to think about. And that question is, how is your love? How is your loyalty to him? Because the real test doesn't come during the church service while we're worshiping with others who love the Lord. But the real test comes when we find ourselves with those who care nothing about Christ and the church. That's the real test. And then we need to understand, thirdly, that loyalty to God supersedes all other loyalties. Loyalty to God supersedes all other loyalties. The first commandment that God gave to Moses was, you shall have no other God before you. So God is serious about our loyalty to him. But here's the question. Are we serious about our loyalty to him? You see, have we become so comfortable and using this pandemic as an excuse to stay at home, but we can go everywhere else? Are we truly being loyal to God? Because God knows your heart. And God knows your situation. And yes, we will be loyal to work, to shopping, family, other activities, to any and maybe everything else. And I'm not trying to judge us this morning. I just want all of us to think and be honest and serious with self. And that is, are you really loyal to God? Are you loyal to Jesus? Are you loyal to his church? God knows. So you need to be serious because he's loyal to you. He's loyal to us. He allowed us to see another day, a day we have never seen before. And so we need to understand that, because divided loyalties suppress our growth as Christians. Divided loyalties make the holy work of the Holy Spirit impossible in our hearts. He cannot teach. He cannot guide. He cannot bring assurance to our hearts. He cannot produce faith. He cannot empower us to pray. And if the Spirit's work is suppressed in our lives, then our growth as Christians will grind to a halt. In other words, we become dead weight spiritually. We lose the joy of our salvation. We become comfortable. We become bitter. We become doubtful. We become visionless people. We become unstable, because we are double-minded in James chapter 1 and verse number 8. And we must make sure that our loyalty is to God and to God alone, so that our growth as Christians can move forward. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 through verse 13, he said, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. And so the idea is not that we do work for God. The idea is that we are so loyal to him that he can do his work through us. And so the question comes, God wants, yes, God wants to use us as he used his son. And so the question comes, can he use you? Can he work through you? So that brings us back. How loyal are you really to God? Because when you're loyal to God, you do not obey him because it's convenient. You obey him because you are committed to him. In other words, loyalty is sacrificial. God wants to accomplish his mission on earth through you and I. Can he do it? Can he accomplish his mission through you and I? He has therefore appointed us to be ambassadors. He has chosen us to be his messengers. And our lives is all about fulfilling God's purpose. And that's why he created us in the first place. Each time we disobey God, we fall. We are in a fallen state when we disobey God. And so obeying God involves, number one, obeying the written word of God unquestionably. Not picking, not choosing what you want, but you obey God totally. It's all or none. But then secondly, you're obeying the authority that God has placed over us. Follow the instructions from the Lord, either as sent through his messengers to us or revealed through the teaching of his word. This is loyalty to God. Obedience to God and his written or spoken word at all costs. But then we need to understand that loyalty seeks to honor God. Loyalty seeks to honor God. See, loyalty is driven by a desire to honor God. To do the good thing, to do the right thing, and to do the will of God. It's not about choosing the easier paths. It's not about taking the least painful option. It's not about avoiding at all costs the most difficult. It's all about following God's leading. And so loyalty is our willingness to stay devoted to God's leading. Loyalty is God's trademark. God values his relationship with you. He's faithful. He's faithful even when we are faithless. God is still faithful. And then finally, we need to understand that loyalty rewards. Loyalty rewards. See, loyalty to God, it leads to devotion to others. Devotion to others requires the spirit of self-sacrifice. The spirit of self-sacrifice, it leads to greater rewards in heaven. Loyalty rewards. God honors faithfulness. God is at work even in the worst times. God is still working it out in your life and in my life. How do you know? Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. And so we have to understand that we don't know what the future holds, but God already sees into the future. He knows what the future holds for you and I. But he wants us to be loyal. He wants us to trust in him. No matter how things, no matter how worse things may get, put your trust in him. Because he knows what the future holds. God sees the ending from the beginning. He already knows. And so you can choose to stay faithful to God, his calling for your life, no matter how difficult the journey may be. And so being loyal is what being a follower of Christ is all about. And I want to suggest to you this morning, let us show Christ's character by being loyal in our relationships, in our marriage, in our ministries, and even loyal to his church. Stay faithful to God's calling in your life. Stay faithful in doing what's good, what's right, and what's godly. Stay faithful because it has a reward. Revelations 2 and 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and you'll receive a crown of life. Don't you want that crown this morning? But you got to be faithful to it. Even when things don't look good, stay faithful, because he's been faithful to us. He's been loyal to you and I. If you're here this morning, not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then God wants you to obey him. He gave his son. Jesus gave his life so that you and I could have a right back to the tree of life. You have to hear God's son. Believe it to be true. Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. Confess Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Then go down that watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and verse 38, when you come up out of that water, you're a new creature. In Christ Jesus, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Lord then adds you to his church, the church that he's the head of, the church that he purchased with his own precious blood, the church that he died for, the church he's coming back for is not going to have any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it's going to be holy and without blemish. Then be loyal to him. Live faithful unto death, and you have that crown of life. If you're here this morning, and you know within your heart you have not been loyal to God, you have not been faithful to him, quit trying to fool yourself. Quit trying to fool other folk. You might can do that, but you can't fool God. God knows whether you've been loyal or not. God knows whether you've been faithful to him or not. That's who you're going to have to answer to in the last day. If you're subject to this invitation, don't put it off. Come down right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Will you bow with me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for waking us up and bringing us together safely to worship you. We pray that everyone in attendance was able to take something from the lesson and use it in their daily lives to make them better, stronger servants unto you. At this time, we ask that you watch over the people who are traveling and the people who are sick, and bring them back safely, and bring all of us back safely at our next appointed time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.